Hello and welcome to the Sydney Institute podcast. The Institute is Australia's premier current affairs forum. Every week, contemporary political, social, cultural, and economic issues are explored at the Institute through dialogue and discussion. This podcast was recorded recently at a members' forum in the city of Sydney. Thanks for listening, and for more information about the Sydney Institute, please visit www.thesydneyinstitute.com.au. We hope you enjoy this event.
Folks, thanks for coming along tonight for our discussion on e-cigarettes. I tried to get two speakers to put different or differing views. I manage one, so that's great to have Dr. Colin Mendelson here. The topic tonight, of course, is e-cigarettes, a threat or an opportunity. Dr. Mendelson is Associate Professor in the School of Public Health and Community Medicine at the University of New South Wales. He's also a specialist dealing in the treatment of tobacco. And so, Dr. Mendelson, you're very welcome to talk on e-cigarettes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gerard, and thank you very much for the honour of being invited to present to this esteemed organisation. We have one small problem, which is advancing the slides, but we're going to do that by finger pointing, so if we could do one to start with. I want to start by introducing Peter. Peter's a patient of mine I first saw 18 months ago. He's 41 years old, single, and he has schizophrenia. When I first met Peter, he was smoking 40 to 50 cigarettes a day, and he was on the disability support pension receiving $400 a week and spending $230 on cigarettes a week. He tried repeatedly to quit, used all the available methods. I tried some strategies with him. We combined different treatments, followed things for a while, didn't work. And he told me smokes have been his best friend since the age of 15, and he relies on them very heavily. And this presentation is about whether e-cigarettes should be available for patients like Peter as all safer alternatives to smoking. So for people who just can't quit, do we leave them to smoke or do we suggest this safer alternative? I'll come back to Peter later. There's a lot of misinformation about e-cigarettes. It's been a topic of great controversy. It's divided the public health community like nothing else. If we just go on to the next slide. What I'm going to talk about is starting off by talking about what e-cigarettes are, and then the concept of tobacco harm reduction, which is a different way of dealing with smoking, the evidence for e-cigarettes, and the evidence or the arguments against e-cigarettes. And the next point is, why is it that with the same base of evidence that experts can't agree on e-cigarettes? So we're all looking at the same facts. Why do we have two diametrically opposed and very strong views on this subject? And then I want to look at some possible policy suggestions, some regulations. And I have no conflicts of interest. But firstly, a little bit of background about smoking. Smoking is still the leading preventable cause of death and illness in Australia. It kills more people than anything else that we can prevent, more than all other drugs, road accidents, suicide combined. People think we've dealt with the smoking epidemic. We haven't. And smoking, on average, kills two out of every three smokers. So every three people who smoke, two of them will die as a direct result of their smoking, and they'll lose 10 years of life. It's a major health issue still. In Australia, over the last 3 years, the rate of smoking has not fallen. So Australia, which has had world-leading tobacco control policies, has had a significant drop in smoking rates in 3 years. So we clearly need something new and innovative. So the next slide is about e-cigarettes. So e-cigarettes consist of... we've lost our slide clicker, but this is to make the point that 15,500 people die from smoking each year. And it doesn't sound like much, or it's hard to get your head around the number, but it's the equivalent of a jumbo jet crashing every week in Australia. It's that, that's the number that we're talking about. So actually, I'll go back a slide, if you don't mind.
Back from that?
No, we want to go to jail. So smoking is the most addictive of all drugs. And smokers try and fail repeatedly to quit. So 40% of Australian smokers try once a year to quit, and about 40% are actually never able to quit until they get some serious disease. And just moving on to the next slide, I'll just briefly look at what e-cigarettes are. So basically they consist of a battery, a heating element or coil, and a chamber of e-liquid, which is the name for the mixture of nicotine and flavourings dissolved in propylene glycol and glycerin. So when the user breathes in, the heating element heats up, it turns on, the coil heats up, and they breathe in the vapour that's created by the heating of the liquid. So there's no combustion, simply the heating of the liquid. And then they breathe out a cloud that's similar to smoke. So essentially, they deliver nicotine, like a cigarette, and they replicate the smoking ritual. So you get the hand-to-mouth aspects of smoking, you get the inhalation of vapour, the exhalation of a cloud that looks like smoke. And they basically replicate smoking. Many of these smokers will continue to use these products long-term as a safer alternative to smoking. Others will stop them as well as smoking and move on to using neither. I wanted to say a few words about the legal status of e-cigarettes in Australia. The devices themselves are legal, but nicotine is not. So the key ingredient you need to make these products work is not legal. And people who use nicotine without approval are criminals. The exception, however, is you can use nicotine legally in tobacco. So the most lethal product ever invented, consumer product ever invented, is legal, and it contains nicotine. But nicotine otherwise is illegal in a product that's much safer and that's used to reduce the harm from smoking. Surprisingly, there's almost universal opposition to electronic cigarettes in Australia. So the 9 health departments are opposed. Our peak medical body, the National Health and Medical Research Council, is opposed. The major public health organisations, the National Heart Foundation, the Cancer Councils, even the medical associations, the Australian Medical Association, the Thoracic Society, are opposed to e-cigarettes. There is a parliamentary inquiry underway at the moment, and a Senate inquiry will be taking place shortly, so we're hoping that will change. I just wanted to also show where Australia fits in with the international experience. Australia is increasingly out of step with other countries. So in Australia, e-cigarettes are illegal, but they're completely legal and available in the US, the UK and the European Union. And just recently, Canada and New Zealand, even New Zealand is ahead of us in this field, and are starting the process of legalising e-cigarettes. So Australia is certainly falling behind, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. So I'd like to say a few words about tobacco harm reduction. Oh, I think we've gone ahead a slide. Do you want to go back one? Oh, okay. Go forward too. Okay. Leave it there, that's fine. So a few words about tobacco harm reduction. With traditional tobacco control, the focus has always been on complete abstinence. So no more addiction, no more nicotine, no more cigarettes, and smokers are expected to quit, simply to quit, and that's it. But a large percentage of smokers are not able to quit, and we know that many people are simply unable or unwilling to actually give up their habit or their nicotine. And tobacco harm reduction involves a strategy for those smokers. It's a way of allowing them to continue their behaviour without the harm that goes with it. And clearly there's a need for that. And this involves switching from tobacco to a safer alternative that delivers nicotine but without all the toxic chemicals. So that's tobacco harm reduction. Because although nicotine is the main addictive chemical in tobacco, it is actually relatively harmless. And one of the great myths about smoking is that nicotine is the cause of harm. In fact, it doesn't cause cancer, it doesn't cause heart disease, and it doesn't cause respiratory illness. And in fact, it has many positive benefits. It improves concentration, it improves memory, improves weight loss. It's beneficial for Parkinson's disease, ADHD. It has a whole range of benefits. Tobacco harm reduction is no different to harm reduction that we use often in other areas. So we use methadone for heroin users who can't stop using opiates. We use clean needles and syringes for drug users to prevent HIV. We use seatbelts for people who drive cars. So it's nothing unusual. It's just applying that model to tobacco. So now I'd like to look at some of the evidence for electronic cigarettes. Are they effective in helping people to reduce their risk of smoking-related illness? And are they safe to use? So in terms of effectiveness, e-cigarettes are effective in helping smokers to quit. We know from population studies that millions of smokers have switched from tobacco to e-cigarettes, and there are several of them in this audience, and have dramatically reduced their risk to health as a result. One study in the European Union in 2014 found that 6 million people who smoked had quit using e-cigarettes. The latest figures from the UK are that 1.5 million ex-smokers now vape instead. So that's 7.5 million smokers. That's 5 million lives saved already. And smokers like them. You know, people say, well, why don't you just put nicotine patches on these people? No one's interested in nicotine patches. The electronic cigarettes are the most popular quitting aid in the UK and the US. They give people that smoking experience, they give them the nicotine, but without the harm. Two recent studies have been published from the UK, which looked at, using very conservative estimates, looked at the lives, the numbers of people who had quit long-term per year using e-cigarettes. So if e-cigarettes weren't available, they calculated that 16 to 22,000 smokers per year in the UK had quit long-term. So we know people quit, but they relapse. But these are long-term quitters. And again, using very conservative estimates. So that's another 10, 15,000 lives a year saved from smoking by e-cigarettes. Oh, actually, no, go back one. So I wanted to make the point that e-cigarettes and the scientific consensus supports them being dramatically safer than smoking. Public Health England and the Royal College of Physicians in the UK have done comprehensive reviews of all the evidence and concluded that they are 95% safer than smoking. So that's 95% less cancer, 95% less heart disease, 95% less respiratory disease. But that's not surprising, because almost all of the 7,000 chemicals in tobacco smoke are not present in vapour. And those that are present are there in very small amounts, in most cases in trace amounts. So it's no surprise that these products are much safer, much less harmful. And not everyone agrees with that exact figure, but even the harshest experts who oppose e-cigarettes agree that they're much safer than smoking. And studies have shown that when smokers switch to e-cigarettes, asthma improves, they get less respiratory infections, lung function improves, blood pressure improves, they feel better. There's a whole range of benefits shown to occur in clinical studies so far. And the other point that is important is that secondhand vapour is relatively harmless. So Public Health England and the Royal College of Physicians have said there's no credible evidence of any harm from vapour, unlike secondhand smoke. So if you're in the room with a vapour, you're very unlikely to have any significant. At this stage, we don't believe there's any significant harm from that vapour. But in any case, e-cigarettes are not completely safe. We're not saying that. And the question is, are e-cigarettes safe? E-cigarettes are used almost exclusively by smokers. And the question really is, how much safer are they than cigarettes? there any risks from e-cigarettes? And there are some small risks need to be compared to the risk of smoking. And we know that smoking kills 2 out of 3 smokers. So we need to keep that in mind when we hear media stories of small concerns about risks in relation to e-cigarettes, because they're minimal in that context. Next slide. So these are some of the concerns about e-cigarettes. So what are the people who are opposed to them saying? They're worried that they're a gateway to children. So kids and non-smokers will take them up and start smoking where they otherwise wouldn't have. They're worried that they'll undermine tobacco control, which we've been working so hard on for years. They're worried that there are long-term risks that we don't yet know about, or that there are certain harmful issues that will appear. They're concerned generally about risks that are reported, and they're concerned about the role of big tobacco. So we don't trust big tobacco, and we're worried what they're up to, or they are worried what they're up to. But for now, I'd like to discuss 3 of these issues, and we can discuss some of the others in question time. First of all, the gateway to smoking. This is probably the most important issue. This would be a serious concern. If e-cigarettes were leading children to smoke and increasing smoke rates, that would be a serious concern. And many studies have shown that kids who use e-cigarettes are also more likely to smoke. And there was one published just yesterday or the day before, which received some publicity. And unfortunately, the results from those sorts of studies are very leading. These studies often claim that e-cigarettes lead to people becoming smokers. So kids who didn't smoke will take up e-cigarettes, get addicted to nicotine, and become smokers as a result, when they otherwise wouldn't have. But in fact, the evidence shows the exact opposite is happening. What we're finding from large population studies is that rather than encouraging smoking, e-cigarettes seem to be actually replacing smoking. As vaping rates have been going up in some countries, we've seen rapid declines in the rate of smoking in youth. And in some countries, they're at record low levels. And this study, if I can just show you, this study from the United States is national data from their national study of children and smoking, found that the rate of decline in tobacco smoke, in tobacco smoke, so we're talking, I haven't got a pointer, have I? So the first part of the slide is that dotted line showing the reduction in smoking rates. And the next slide, just the next click, thank you, shows that from 210, when e-cigarettes became widely available, the long-running trend over the previous 35 years of that decline in tobacco smoking tripled when e-cigarettes were introduced into the community. So if e-cigarettes increasing smoking rates, how do you explain that? We can't say that e-cigarettes are responsible for all of that fall, but I'm sure they're playing a role. Next slide. These 4 studies from the UK show that about, next slide, 10% of kids will experiment with e-cigarettes. Now, that's no surprise. Kids experiment. It's a fun thing to do. They try it for a while, then they stop. And the majority do not use nicotine. In the US, it's only about 1 in 5 actually use nicotine. But the next point shows that experimentation is actually quite uncommon in kids who don't smoke. So it's about 3% in the UK. So very few kids who don't smoke use it. And the next point is that regular use by kids who have never smoked is actually very rare. Roughly about 2 in 1,000 kids who haven't ever smoked will use it regularly. So a few will try it and they'll have a bit of fun, and in many cases they will often go on to not smoke because of it. So they'll try it for a while, have that experience, that was fun, and they won't need to go on to smoke, and that's what seems to be happening. So what about adult smokers? I mean, there is the other question of whether adult non-smokers are trying e-cigarettes and going on to smoking when they otherwise wouldn't have. This next slide shows a US national survey, and which finds that only 4 in 1,000 smokers, sorry, 4 in 1,000 non-smokers have were current users of an electronic cigarette. Now, most of those had only tried them occasionally. They weren't regular users, but that's the sort of the number we're talking about. The great majority were current smokers or ex-smokers who were using them to stay off cigarettes. Similarly, in the UK, the next slide shows that only 0.3% of never smokers were current users of e-cigarettes. That means having used it in the last month. So very few adults who are not smokers are taking up these products. So I think we really need to keep that in mind when we're assessing the downside of e-cigarettes. The second issue I wanted to cover is, are e-cigarettes undermining tobacco control? So opponents of e-cigarettes say that these products make smoking appear cool again, more socially acceptable, and they will increase smoking rates. In fact, the opposite is true. Where e-cigarettes are widely available, smoking rates are falling to record lows. For example, in this next slide in the US, smoking rates are falling faster than ever. If in this next section shows, this middle section shows a levelling out of smoking rates in the US over a period of 6 or 7 years. But when e-cigarettes arrived from about 210, smoking rates began to fall again. So e-cigarettes arrived and smoking rates began to fall faster than ever. And what's of concern for us as Australians is that when you graph the three countries and their smoking rates, you'll see that Australia, which had the lowest smoking rate for many years, is now falling behind its peers. Australian rates have not changed for 3 years. And you can see that the rates of decline in the US, which now has a smoking rate below that of Australia, officially, and just go back a second, and the rate in the UK has almost caught up with Australia. You can't compare these studies directly, but there's a clear message there. There's a clear trend that other countries are falling faster than us in spite of these dreaded e-cigarettes. And finally, there's this other issue about, what about the long-term safety? So we didn't know for many years with cigarettes they were going to cause problems. Maybe one day we'll find out that e-cigarettes are harmful. Well, I think the argument against this is that by this impossible standard, we'd never introduce any drug or treatment. You know, we never know, even after 10 years, and e-cigarettes have been around that long or a bit longer, after 10 years of testing, we don't know everything about these products. But we do know from all the research and experience that they're much safer than smoking. And given the potential to save lives at the sort of rate I'm talking about, it seems really unreasonable to withhold them and to delay their introduction and be paralysed by unrealistic expectations. So this brings me to the really interesting bit, which is, well, you've seen the evidence, and it's one base of evidence, but we're all looking at this differently. Why can't the experts agree? And it seems to me it's not about the evidence. It's about ideology and values. And I want to look at the inside the brains of some of the vaping opponents to see what's going on. So if you can show me the next slide. I think a lot of it comes down to ideological beliefs. So many people have invested careers in tobacco abstinence. It's all been about eliminating addiction and nicotine, and there's no room for this concept of harm reduction. You know, anything that looks like a cigarette, is used like a cigarette and contains nicotine can't possibly be a good thing. And this framework doesn't include harm reduction, where you actually allow cigarette-like devices and use that as an alternative. The second point is that, again, many experts have invested careers in destroying big tobacco. And the tobacco industry has behaved terribly in the past. We all agree with that. But some believe that anything they come up with has to be bad. And I think that's an unfair generalisation. We need to look at each issue on its merits. The third point is that I think it comes down to core beliefs and values. Many people see smoking as sinful. Smokers are bad, weak, weak-willed individuals. And harm reduction implies accepting this, that it's okay, people can still smoke, whereas there's a lot of opposition in some people's minds, and there's often a very moral component to that as well. Next point is about nicotine. There's this demonisation of nicotine. Because it's associated with tobacco, there's a lot of people think it's just bad and it's a big part of the problem. In fact, it's not, apart from the addiction. And it does maintain addiction, and that's a bad thing. And then there's resistance to change. We all struggle with resistance to change. Entrenched views are hard to change. People often interpret the evidence according to their views. They interpret selectively. And for some people, no amount of evidence is enough, which brings me to this next slide. And I think a lot of people have got to the point where no matter how much evidence we give them, it's not going to make a difference. They've got views based on their ideology and values that prevent us from taking this further. So the next slide is what we need to do. I think we need to just keep calm and look at the evidence, because I think the evidence speaks for itself. I think we need to look at it dispassionately, and we need to be willing to change our minds. It's not a weakness to change your mind when the evidence changes, and I'm afraid that there are many people who are too invested in a particular position in spite of the evidence and unable to review their decisions. And finally, I'd like to look at how I think we should regulate e-cigarettes in Australia. And I think that should be based on evidence, not on ideology. And it should be ethical. And I think this is an important point, that I think it's unethical and irrational to allow the sale of the most lethal consumer product ever invented, but to deny smokers access to a product which is much safer, which will reduce their harm from smoking. I don't think we can justify that. It's not scientific and it's not ethical. So my recommendations, and that of many, is that we should allow low concentrations of nicotine to be available for vaping, for tobacco harm reduction, for smokers who are not able or willing to quit smoking, to reduce their harm. These are people who are otherwise going to continue to smoke. E-cigarettes are consumer products, and they're designed to replace another, much more harmful consumer product. And they should be regulated by existing consumer laws. They're not tobacco products. They don't contain tobacco products. Contain tobacco. They're currently being regulated by the states as tobacco products. And that involves much greater and unnecessary restrictions. And basically the principle of regulating e-cigarettes is to maximise the potential benefits to adult smokers who can't quit while minimising any harm to other members of the community. So the first step is to ensure that these products are available and that they're of good quality. So the next slide shows that we're concerned about setting safety and quality standards. Currently, they're not regulated. There's a black market, and that's part of the problem of not accepting these products. We need the usual consumer protections. We need responsible advertising to adults only, just like we do with alcohol. People need to know these products are available. If we don't advertise, it's kind of like saying, well, we don't want people to use these. We want them out there, but only adults to be made aware. Kids will find out, of course, but we need... The most important thing, I think, for kids is to have parents who live. And I think we forget about that in the concern we have about kids. They're going to lose their parents. And that's another benefit for the kids that often isn't considered in the debate. I think we need to allow point-of-sale display so that smokers, when they're going to buy their cigarettes, they can see electronic cigarettes, and perhaps in other selected places they can see that these products are available. The other part of this regulatory balance is minimising potential risks to other people. So we're talking about, yes, and sales to minors. There's general agreement on that. In some areas, we should restrict vaping indoors. We shouldn't allow vaping in cars with children. We should have child-resistant containers and so on. So minimising harm to other people, but allowing people who need them the benefit. I'd like to go back to Peter now. Peter commenced an e-cigarette, one of these Joytech all-in-ones, cost him about $30, I think, back in July. He stopped smoking immediately, at no cost to the government. He had one brief lapse in October when he wasn't able to get his nicotine, but he got back on track once when I gave him a supply to tide him over, and he's been abstinent for 11 months. He's got more energy, he's more motivated, he's exercising, he feels better. He's saved $9,600 on his disability support pension. That includes having the costs spent on e-cigarettes taken from his cigarette costs. And he's feeling less financial stress, he's spending money on good food and hobbies, paying off his debts. And he said these things to me. I prefer them to smoking. They help me manage the bad days. So he'll have a bad day and he won't automatically reach for a cigarette, which is what happened before. He can now have the smoking experience without the smoke and not relapse. It's the best thing he's ever done. And smokers will always tell you that when they've quit. I'd like to end with a quote from the UK Royal College of Physicians. This is one of the most prestigious medical organisations in the world. They did a comprehensive review of the pros and cons, all the evidence of e-cigarettes. And this was their conclusion, and I think we need to be guided by this, and it was that in the interests of public health, it's important to promote the use of e-cigarettes as widely as possible as a substitute for smoking. And I'm hoping Australia will come to the same conclusion. Thank you.
You have been listening to the Sydney Institute podcast. This podcast is proudly brought to you through the support of Microsoft Australia. We hope you enjoyed listening and can join us again soon.